everybody, and welcome to Spiritual Successor, a comedy video game design podcast where we take your lovely video game submissions and turn them into the next AAA video game titles that make loads of money. I am one of your hosts, Blake Rea. AJ.
That's me. I'm the other host.
How you doing? I know you just did a whole bunch of moving in your room recently. Like, how's your recording setup going these days?
My recording space is good. I kind of rearranged a little bit of my room, did a little bit of... Really, what that means is I dug through all of my stuff that has been packed up since I moved here, and I just took my magic cards out. But most of the most noticeable thing and the most notable change in my room that I'm feeling right now is the smell of smoke in my room.
Agent... Do you have an active fire going on in your room? Like you just
no.
put a little bundle of sticks and some stone and just
not
like,
anymore.
I know it gets cold up in Oregon, and you don't really have a heater in your room currently, right? It's got
there,
a bundle.
Well,
up.
I do have a heater, but I also in my room essentially have the dryer because I've been moved into like a space very close to the dryer. But earlier today I was doing some nice dryer work. You know how sometimes your mechanics go on the fritz and you think to yourself, I'll just work on that on my own. And somebody, we're not going to name names, maybe lit it on fire briefly. But everything's cool and fine now.
What?
But my room does smell like burned things so much.
Oh.
And like, you know, we're going to live with that.
You know what's weird? And this is going to sound really weird. I like the concept of a room that smells smoky because it reminds me of candles. Like unscented candles. You're just, like, smelling
the
wick.
Why do you have no... Wait, yeah, but who the fuck do you know that would, like, have unscented candles in their room? Like, hey, buddy, welcome to my crib. I live in a church. We use unscented candles.
You clearly have never set the mood for a partner to come home. You set a nice little candle. You don't want to over... AJ, if you're on a date and you're bringing this person home that you don't know who they are, you don't got to read on them. You don't know if they want... They don't. You don't know if they
if
want
I'm
lavender nighttime
the moves
fresh
on some,
or they want pinecone.
You gotta
play middle of the road here. You gotta be like. You can't be too extreme. You can't pull out summertime
move...
popsicle on somebody. You know. You don't know.
No. Okay. You're right. You don't know, and that's exactly like the point. If I'm putting the schmooves on somebody, and
schmooves.
I want to make sure that I'm doing it in a good smelling environment. Number two, I'm going to commit to a scent. And if they're not into it, then I need them out. Like, the scents are vibes, yo. And, like, that's a big deal. And it's a two-way street, right? If I go into somebody's house and this is going to play into my personal hatreds. When I go to somebody's house and it smells like, what's that? A strawberry cheesecake freshly made? Ooh, an apple pie? Ooh, some cookies, perhaps? And they're like, no, I have a candle that smells like sweet treats. I'm leaving. Like, why would somebody do that to themselves?
You felt you got lied to in the most real way possible.
Yes! It's
like
the most infuriating thing ever. I don't understand why people would want to make their house smell like things they don't get to eat. That's so fucked up. Just say you're a masochist. Say you want to feel pain and go about your life like a normal human being. You don't have to, like, do, like, this crazy gaslighting maneuver to be like... One day I might be able to get an apple pie. Go to the fucking Safeway and buy one.
Nah, dude.
Anyway, so the long story short, if I go to somebody's place and I smell that they're trying to put the schmooves on me, no, I'm leaving.
Uh-huh.
And if they come over to my place and it smells like, you know, the beach and pine cones and there's for some reason an idiot that's not into that, they can leave. And I would like them to.
See, you know what's really weird? So I have this one candle, and I shit you not, I'm actually saving it for a special occasion. It's a special occasion candle.
It's a special occasion candle. Ooh,
see,
this one's a good one.
There.
Let me bust out the fine china. Ooh, baby.
It is the fine china of candles, because you know what is fucking scented? It's flannel scented. It's just a candle that says flannel on it, like flannel scent from Bed Bath & Body Works. And I'm like, oh man, I can't wait to crack that open. Sometimes I cheat a little bit and I open the canister and get a little whiff of that wax. And I'm like, oh man, I can't wait to use this. In reality, I was gifted that candle. And upon bringing it home to my father, he's like, we don't allow open candles in this house. So it's just sat in my drawer until I have my own place. And I'm like, bam.
What
I'm
love gonna... about the concept of the flannel scented candle is that, like, it's very
flannel
scented
calendar is pretty good too.
Flannel scented candle can really mean one of two things, right? Like, on one end, it's like lumberjacky, right? Like, ooh, what's this? Little construction work, little bit of pine, little bit of wood, little bit of boy
little
sweat.
Bit of cedar. Yeah, yeah.
On the other side, though, the exact opposite of a good smelling flannel is a bad smelling flannel.
Oh,
you
like
know,
BO?
A flannel,
like, just that's been
worse. My thought was a flannel that, like, you know, it got hosed down and then left next to the laundry machine.
Oh, like mildewy,
got that mildewy flannel stank on it. And so I love this high-risk, high-reward flannel candle you've got there that really could, you know, break one of two ways.
Well, that's, you know, here's the thing. This is how I evaluate, you know, a potential partner. If I'm dating some woman, I need them to be able to adapt. And if I crack open this flannel candle and neither of us know the smell and they're like, we got to kind of digest that together, it can either be really bad or be really good. And I'm just going to be seeing their reaction and be like, okay, you know, they're going with the flow. I know that they're a keeper. I know that they can adapt to situations with me. I need that in my life.
That's a good
one. Smells like
shit,
and if it smells like absolute shit, we can just talk it and go to Bed Bath & Body Works and get, I don't know, some sugar cookie candles, the shit that you hate.
Nope. See, now you fucked up and you gaslit yourself. We're recording. You can say you're a masochist. Say it, Blake. Go on.
AJ, everybody knows this already. Unless you're a new listener. Unless you're a listener. Unless you're just like a brand new listener. Hello, my name's Blake Rea. I like Rouge the Bat that tells you everything you need to know about me and my preferences.
There it is, finally, a video game thing. That is what we do on this show. And it has been 10 minutes of us talking about candles and fuck all. So do we want to do video games now? Like, sure, here's the thing. I want to let you know, Blake, full confession, you can say no. It's our show. If you want to keep doing this, we totally can. Why not?
Talk
about whatever we
you
want.
Know how, you know
ours,
how much longer
it's
that conversation
show.
Goes? You're right. You're right. It is our show. But I just want to go back to the candle bit. AJ, realistically, you know, one thing you and I have learned over doing this podcast for so long, we kind of get a sense of, like, how long conversations will last or how much you know, fuel we can get out of it. I think this candle conversation, 30 seconds more tops. I don't think it's going anywhere. So well, I would love for a game submission. Do you have a game submission? Or I can also just talk about, like, what we did before we actually recorded. We were talking about our Resident Evil.
No, you don't need to talk about that. I have a Twitter submission. This comes from Caleb All Day All Bay Martin.
What's
Citizen
up?
Kane the Roguelike. Now, this seems like excellent
Citizen
time
Kane?
For me to talk about Citizen Kane. No, I haven't seen Citizen Kane. But let me tell you something. I went to film school. Which means that around film school, people always talk about movies. And through
what's
my 4
the best
years
movie?
Of people talking about, like, movies, there's always the discussion of what's the best movie ever made. And the name Citizen Kane got thrown around a lot. Now, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I had never seen Citizen Kane. But in my mind, I had a thought of what Citizen Kane was. My thought of Citizen Kane was that it had the guy that was the lumberjack in Ring of Fire. Nope, not Ring of Fire, Reign of Fire. I forget his name. He was in 300. Please help.
Gerard Butler?
Thank you. I was imagining a movie. When people said Citizen Kane, I thought it was the movie with Gerard Butler where he is
in
a cell. Yeah, I've told you this before. I don't think I've said it on the podcast. I thought that Citizen Kane, the greatest movie ever made, was the film that stars Gerard Butler as a felon that has just been locked in a jail and is somehow still committing acts of terrorism. They'll be like, tell me how you did it. And he'll be like, I'm not telling you anything. Anyway, watch out on November 2nd. And then a bomb goes off and people are like, how's he doing it? I thought that this cat and mouse movie about Gerard Butler and somebody else was what people referred to as the greatest movie ever made. Now, granted, I've never seen Citizen Kane, but certainly a movie about a citizen with Gerard Butler was going to be the Citizen Kane movie.
The movie you're thinking
incorrect.
Of, by the way, which I think is so fucking funny, is it's called Law Abiding Citizen. There's just one There's just one word comparison there. And...
But it's like the word. It's like the word about it is the thing that made me think that that was, that made me think that was the one they were talking about.
But to be honest, no, but to be honest though, I can see where your confusion comes from. Because like, okay, picture Gerard's face. Picture his like, just like very mysterious, like plotting face, and put Kane in front of it, like Kane with a Y. It's
that
I'd be like, oh yeah, that's a guy. That's a guy named Kane. I get it. Citizen Kane.
Also, if somebody said, hey, by the way, the greatest movie ever made does star Gerard Butler, like, that's a sentence that makes sense. Is, like,
what?
The math checks out is the thing every time I run through it.
Hey, AJ, tell me, like, more than one Gerard Butler movie. I mean, either than 300
and Ring of Fire. Those two are already competitors for
others?
Greatest movies ever made.
Do you know
made.
Any others? Because, like, I feel like most other movies would... Actually, wait a second. I'm forgetting, like, the best movie ever made. Gamer with Gerard Butler? That movie's so fucking dumb and gratuitous and stupid, but... God damn, do I love that movie.
Excuse you, I believe the movie was called Bounty Hunter. It's a rom-com with Gerard Butler where he plays a bounty hunter hunting down his ex-wife. I don't know much about that movie
other than
I think I liked it on my first watch in middle school. So, like,
that's the one with that's the one with, what's her name, Jennifer Aniston, right?
Yes, there's a scene where some guy tries to stop him, and so he shoots him in the leg, and he's like, and the guy drops, and then Gerard Butler runs over to her, and he's like, it's fine, I'm such a good shot, I cut through only flesh, so you'll be totally fine in 2 weeks.
Wait a second, also, he was Hiccup's dad in How to Train Your Dragon, right? He was also that guy, and also there's another movie.
Is Gerard Way Stoic the Vast?
Yeah, I think, yes, if I'm remembering correctly, yes, because Gerard Butler is, like, Scottish, and, like, that's his actual voice, which is so fucking cool. Also, did you know Gerard Butler starred in a movie called Machine Gun Preacher, back in 2011? Is this guy, this is a 6.8.
Big ups to Gerard Way for having an entire career built around 14 to 18-year-old AJ Hart. Thanks, bud.
Jesus Christ. But he was also the Phantom in Phantom. All right. So you're
saying
we're
going to do... He can sing, can't he?
Yeah, he can sing. Yeah, he could, like, super sing. He wasn't in Les Miserables, was he? Or was that the other guy that looks like Gerard Butler? The guy who was in The Prestige.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, Gerard Butler and Hugh Jackman look a lot alike in my brain. You know, generic white guy with beard, short hair. No.
What it is, it's generic, not American white guy. It's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's
like
true.
It's different.
That's
it's
true.
It's simply a different white, right? It's like the same white that, like, the guy that, like, Butcher from The Boys is. Like, it's like an Australian. It's Australian.
Like
it's
different. New Zealand-y white. Yeah, I get you.
That's a different breed.
So,
we know that.
So what are you suggesting? Because I could just sit here and talk more about Gerard Butler and just, like, his amazing filmography. Are you suggesting me...
Can we do a roguelike where you play as Gerard Butler and you have to do, like, different... The runs are different elements of different movies? Because something that I'm noticing... And all of the Gerard Butler movies we've listed, all of them are so buck wild different.
You know, see, that's actually kind of interesting because I have not seen the original Citizen Kane either. And the reason I would like to clarify, because we're talking movies here, I never saw that movie because the moment somebody tells me this is the greatest movie of all time, I'm immediately more skeptical of it. And I'm like, okay, because most of the time, like, it's like the same people who come up to me and say The Exorcist is the scariest movie of all time. And I'm like, okay, in the time it was released, I can see it being the scariest movie of all time. But since then, there have been, like, different generations find different things scary. Fuck, back in the 40s, we thought giant radioactive monsters were the scariest thing imaginable. Like, that's why Godzilla's a thing. Godzilla?
And then
I don't know
Joker
if it's necessarily
2019
scary anymore,
happened, and we know
Joker.
The real scariest thing imaginable. Can we do Citizen Kane as a roguelike is really just law-abiding citizen the roguelike?
I have the concept here. I think I, like you, I think I got Citizen Kane through osmosis. If I remember correctly, it's a dude looking back at all of the key moments in his life as he's on his deathbed. So we can take that format and being, it's Gerard Butler looking at all of his previous movies, and each run is a different memory of his. And it's a memory during that movie. So that way, that gives us the excuse of be like, hey, in one episode, he's in Gamer, and he's going up against the guy who played the evil guy in Dexter. Well, the good evil guy in Dexter. That guy was in that fucking movie. That guy rocks, actually.
Gerard Butler's in Dexter?
No. You know the guy who plays Dexter in the TV series?
Yes.
He's the main villain in Gamer. And he was like, there's that great scene where he's like, you've got no strings on me, like that. And he's like also playing puppeteer with all the people. Like, God, that movie's just so fucking good. I love that movie so much.
I watched Gamer in eighth grade. What an excellent eighth grade movie.
Yeah. It's, you know, it definitely did not, like, age well in certain areas.
Oh, fuck
like,
no. Hey.
Yeah, it's fucking bad. But, like, just the concept of, like, exactly like you were saying, I'm like, I'm a 12-year-old. I don't know. I don't have a good grasp on, like, social consciousness. I'm just like, hey, it's a cool guy pissing into a car, gasoline, make the car go.
Check
you know?
This
I'm like,
movie
oh, this
out.
Is
it's
fucking
got a
awesome.
Buff guy on the front. It's called Gamer, and it's one of the five movies I know where you can see boobs.
God, that's right. Before the advent of the internet, porn was like a rarity. So it's just like, that's so weird. Like, do you think about that?
Okay, we have to stop talking about Gerard Butler and Gamer and the movies he's in. What's the, either we need to talk about an actual video game or we need to get a new submission. I'm pulling the ripcord on this.
Hey, Jay, you were just preaching 9 minutes and 36 seconds ago that this is our podcast. We could do whatever the fuck we want. Talk about Gerard Butler. It's Gerard Butler podcast this week, baby.
Well,
no,
I don't want
to keep talking. To the game, so
I don't
want to
keep
kidding.
Talking
I'm
about
kidding.
Gamer in like a fun, positive light because it has been 10 years since I've seen it and I have no idea how it aged.
That's, you know, that's totally fair. I also have not seen that movie in a long time.
Also,
and it's definitely
important
rose colored glasses.
Note, Gerard uh-huh. Butler is a famous person, and I have to assume that he's shitty because
he's
of that.
He's pretty shitty. So, yeah. Like, yeah. Not going to go into too much detail, Marky Bark. Not as cool of a guy as
not
you think.
A very cool guy. Gerard Butler could be the same problem. I'm
that's true.
Just not
that's
Googling
true.
It right now.
I mean, he was a white guy playing an Egyptian god, so.
Ooh,
fuck, I don't
was,
know about
this. Wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, Jake Gyllenhaal also did that. And he also started.
Yeah, everyone did that. Everyone does that. Everyone does that, Lee.
All right, let's move on. I think we've called ourselves out. We've caught ourselves on just the problematic elements of movies. Let's move on to something more constructive.
Okay, give me a video game. Give me something to use to attack video games with this time.
This one comes to us on Twitter from Brett Owen. B_M_O. Control, but instead of brutalism, it's another specific architectural style. AJ, you know, I want to talk about one of the biggest architectural advancements of our lifetime. And sadly,
can
it's
I
kind
guess
of
what it
fallen.
Is?
Let me give you my sales pitch, and then you can guess. How about that?
Okay. Yeah.
It was particularly popular in the 90s. It was very colorful, very, very big, very fun. Particularly was targeted towards the ages 8 to 13 crowd. But it has slowly fallen out of fashion since, you know, the 90s. I don't think I've ever seen, I haven't seen one of these, but since I was probably 10 years old. AJ, what do you think I'm thinking about? What architectural advancement do you think I'm talking about?
Is it slides in houses?
What? I don't know if slides in houses have ever been popular. Actually, you know, that feels like rich person 1960s sort of vibe of like when
Caillou had a slide
like
in his house. Zabumafu had a slide in his house. The big blue bear in the big blue house had a slide in his house. Barney had
but
a slide
not,
in his house.
But that's not like that's
everybody
not like actual architecture.
In
you're
the
talking
90s
about a lemur.
Slides in their
you're
houses.
Okay, AJ, hold on, real quick. Yes, I agree with you that slides were like a big thing in 90s television, but also those were slides built for lemurs. It's different for a slide built for a person and like an actual house.
I think
know
Mr.
If that's, like,
Rogers also had a slide in his house, though, and he's a people.
God,
answer
a
that, Blake.
God, Mr. Rogers is actually pretty cool. No, what I'm you're actually a little bit, you're getting close. McDonald's Play Places, AJ. I'm going to do a supernatural first-person
shooter. Fuck you, Blakey. Do you know how I was so close, and you're going to give me flack on that? I cannot believe I got that from downtown. You're like, actually, Blakey, come on.
AJ, you named
Just gas me up one time. Tell me how good I did. Come on.
A slide does not make a play place, AJ.
God, the way I was in your mind palace and scoped that one out, dude.
A ball pit, a tube that has a window to see through, an area, a net wall to climb up, places hot plastic that has been sitting in the sun that you burn your leg on when climbing up it. That makes a play place, AJ. So,
what the fuck happened to play places? You're right. I haven't seen one in like a decade.
I honestly, I don't know.
And I went to a Chuck E. Cheese that didn't have a play place, by the way, one time.
Wait, no, that doesn't make sense. Is it just an arcade?
Yeah, it was just an arcade.
You know what? Honestly, I think I know why. It's because they're a pain in the ass to clean. Because I feel like the smell
didn't clean those.
And being in a play place was just kind of synonymous as I was a child. Actually, you know, now that I think about it, as a full grown adult who knows what germs are, I don't know if I would go into play place unless
that's
because
you're a punk ass bitch. If I was somewhere and could get into a play place, absolutely I would.
Fuck you. I went to City Museum, which is just one giant play. That's it, AJ, hold on. I've stumbled. Upon calling you out for things, I stumbled into our game. This takes place in the City Museum. I've talked about it a bunch on the show, but I'll keep talking about it. It's a giant 10-story boot factory that got converted into one giant jungle gym where there's like just rusted rebar, Tetanus City. Is just, and they have like planes hanging in like suspended above the building that you can climb to, and there's like a giant slide, and in the center of the building there's this bar that actually like serves really amazing drinks. AJ, that's our fucking concept. You are, just like in Control, the manager of this building, like the manager of the bureau, and you are sent in to manage the City Museum, but you find out there are just strange paranormal aspects to it. So that's our architect. What do you qualify that as, architecture? Is it just an absurdism? Because it's like,
yeah,
in the basement,
so.
There's like
stalactites. I think that what we'll lean with is absurdism. Yeah, like everything's going to look like a crazy art museum. And I love that. It's like that would be like the different levels, the different branches, the different hallways. What I also want to play with is, I know Control was really boring to look at some of the time because, as the aforementioned brutalism.
What?
Because of the aforementioned brutalism, right? Like, there's only so... Like, you look down a hallway, and if it's all white, like, I know some people, they really get going for that. I'm like, aw, cool. A bleached
really
hospital. Woo.
Just get an architectural boner, is what you're suggesting. It's like,
but,
oh,
like,
man,
yeah,
look
if,
that,
I,
look
if
that,
I'm looking down a hallway, and I see, like, the whole thing does a loop-de-loop, I'm like, oh, hell yeah. And it's multicolored? Fuck yeah.
So
I want this place to look like a fun house.
See, what,
and
what's
I love the
cool
idea that we could
this?
Also play with some impossible geometry. That'd be fun.
Yeah, non-Euclidean space where it's like a small, like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, where it's like really small door that leads to a giant warehouse sort of.
Yeah, this
right?
game can look like the final act of The Labyrinth.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So,
at least in some branches.
No, I think that's great. Just to give us a little bit more fuel, let me describe some of the areas of the City Museum. You have the courtyard, which is basically one giant connection, like bunch of rebar that has been welded together, where it's like they form tubes, like in Jungle Gym play places. And between these tubes are suspended vehicles. So you have like a giant bus, you have multiple like little biplanes that have just are hanging there that you can actually climb in the tubes, go to those planes and go into the and climb. On top of the building is a giant Ferris wheel, a giant slide, and another bar. But inside, it's where it gets weird. There is like each floor is actually very, very different. The basement is a stalactite cave system that's lit by like neon and party color lighting. And then the second floor is actually, like, a jungle, where it's, like, all the trees are made of metal, and you can, like, climb up them and climb from, like, floor to floor, like you're going through holes in the floor. But as you get towards the top, it gets really weird. It's like the floor loses resolution. Everything breaks down into basic shapes. And I feel like that sounds like endgame material to me. So
my problem is that sounds like control. You know what I mean? I want it to be more wild and colorful. I don't want it to be like desaturated.
Well, no. That's the cool through line of all this stuff. There is always color.
Okay, like, cool.
Building off of what I was saying with the, like, the 10th floor is where, like, you just, like, there's a ball pit that's surrounded by a bunch of polygons, but there's, like, also giant, like, splashes of light and color. So it's, like, there's no normal light on the top floor, which is the weirdest thing. And then, hell, even the bar is just a giant pinball, like, a pinball arcade. So there's like lights coming off of the machines. It's insanely colorful. I think the antithesis of like the more fluorescent, cold, sterile brutalism of control. So our premise is like we have our main character who's like the manager or the what would be more interesting? Is this the manager or is this somebody walking into the city museum after hours? And it just becomes something they have to like survive the night. That's like the story.
I mean, if it's control, we can do both, right? Like, isn't that the premise of control? Is that lady walks in and then within 5 minutes she's given like the manager keys or something like that?
I believe that's how it is. Yes.
So then we'll just do both. It's some like newbie that just showed up and got given the keys to be the new manager. My question is whether or not we want to keep the control system of having a gun that transforms and telekinesis abilities, or if we want to jump to a different superpower for our main character.
I want to jump to a different superpower. You know what I want to jump to? All of the people who work there have fanny packs. So, and building off of what you were saying, where this is kind of like wild and space doesn't make sense, it's a fanny pack that is basically a utility belt. So like you can it's a bag of holding basically. So like every time you walk into a new area, you find out like there's a new layer to your fanny pack and you unlock new items that you can pull out of it. So,
okay, here's what I'll give you. Okay. Yes, on the time space fanny pack, you can just simply place things in there and they're like kept safe. What I want to give you now is the tools and, like, the puzzling mechanics of Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Like, all the crazy physics tools that you have in there.
Oh, how you can, like, spawn pillars and, like,
you can spawn pillars, you can freeze things and then jump on top of it before beating the absolute hell out of it and make it soar through the air. But all of those things have a resource gauge. Like, there will be a health bar on it so you can run out. Essentially turning this game into a physics puzzler where you constantly have to go out and gather up the items so that you can do the physics puzzles.
Interesting. And do certain floors have exclusive resources? So you're like, hey, I need to go to the stalactite level because that's the only place that has like magnesium or lead or whatever. Or you got to go to the tree level because that's the only place where you get specific berries that explode on impact or just throwing out ideas there. So is this kind of like Castlevania then where you have to go back through certain areas and farm? Not the first one. It's definitely the second one, which a lot of people didn't like how they did it, of how you have to go back and farm.
What I love about Castlevania 2 is, if I remember correctly, Castlevania 2 was the game that had the secret where you had to do a secret wall squat corner thing to unlock the second half of the game, where you into the reflection of the castle and you just got the second half of a video game.
Oh, that's kind of cool, but also like, man, that does sound kind of lazy, doesn't it?
Yeah, old video games were wild. You had to go through like the whole game so that somebody could give you the hint to go stand in a corner for like a minute and a half.
That's right. Oh my God. And they also had like the Dark Souls system before it was Dark Souls, of like collecting hearts or souls that you would use as currency for upgrades. And so you would constantly be going back through old levels. So, and here's the thing that we can do, but this is how we do it differently. You are going back to different areas, but every time you come back to it, the layout of it is completely different. So it'll be like, hey, you go into the tree level for the first time, you find out, you map it out, it's built this specific way. You know there's going to be the entrance door and the exit door, and maybe there's a merchant or some sort of, like, spawn shit. Those things will always be there, but they're not going to be in the same place every single time.
Ooh, I like that.
And the layout of the level is not going to be the same every time. So you're constantly it's constantly a game of discovery in a world that is weird and bizarre and changing. And of course, like, as you go through the game, things break down and like the facade of this weird building just becomes more and more bizarre. Like, rebar just starts growing out of walls, like hands and roots.
Yeah, and eventually really it looks like crazy. The Joker's, like, fever dream.
The Joker's fever dream. Or it's just big, it's just big circle, it like big spirals and candy and all this other crazy shit. Interesting.
Yeah.
So it could.
I'm gonna put a pin in this actually.
Yeah, I do feel something about this City Museum style game. All right, you got another game for me?
Yeah, and if you're prepared for a nug, I'll go ahead and hit you with it.
Hit me with a nug. I'm always ready for a nug.
This comes from Ryan Vafazita. Bonding. A hardcore survival roguelike about a dad trying to get his children to think he's a rad dude. Blake.
Okay. So, okay, this screams camping, right?
This does scream camping. You're right on that. But what I want to lean into a little bit more is the idea of, you know, being a dad. Something that you and I, I'm sure, are both very accustomed to. And just like we know so many lessons about being a father because we both listen to Dungeons and Daddies, the D&D podcast.
Yeah. I also have three dads, so I know a little. I don't know what it's like to parent, but I have been parented, most definitely.
Let me go ahead and give you the core of my nugget that I want to add to this game.
Okay.
I want it to be a co-op RPG where one person gets to decide the action, traits, and skills of the other player. Blake, imagine you and I are playing an action RPG together. You are the daddy. I am the son. You, every time I level up, ka-ting, I've killed a goblin and leveled up. And I say, all right, now I get a new action point. And I go into my menu to look at my action points, and it's like, do double hits, become a tank, or get sneak points. And I'm like, ah, shit, I can't choose where this point goes. And then I look up at my dad, you, and you say, well, son, I want you to be a tank for me. And you choose. You've decided that I'm a tank now.
I wonder if you could.
I want to create an entire RPG where only one person gets, where one person gets to make the calls for the other player, because I think
so
it would be very funny.
How can you? Is there a way that you can because I'm trying to figure out, like, most games that have a mechanic like that, it becomes very much like a game of, like, the person who is supposed to be under control fucking with the other character.
That's what I want.
So is there a way that we can award the character? So obviously the parent has more control over the kid.
Not more,
all of the control over the build of the kid.
Is
there a way we can reward the kid for being a fucking bastard, just being an absolute
trash person? That's a good point. How
like,
does
you know
the
what
kid
kind of
get
reminds,
points?
This, you know what this reminds me of? It's that one game. It's that Jackbox game we played on the Discord. It's the one where you're like the family of devils, where you actually can make more points for ignoring your chores and being just a rancid jerk kid or jerk mom or whatever. So I'm wondering if you can do a thing of like, if your parent can pick what class you're in, but are you rewarded more points for playing in the other classes? Like, you have access to, like, when you first launch the game, you have level one in all of the different kinds of combat abilities. So you have level one in magic, level one in, tanking, level one in healing, whatever. As you can, your parent can choose the thing for you. But
what if,
actually,
okay, here's what it is. What if the kid just grows faster? Like, the kid gets way more experience way more fast, but they don't get to choose what kind of, like, abilities and points they get. But the parent grows way slower, but gets to choose all of the abilities and points. Now, of course, this is going to be a game that kind of breaks down into two types of players, right? There will be the players that listen to their child and grow them into being the DPS that they want to be. But the real ones, the real ones out there that understand our vision, Blake, they will be a parent that makes their gameplay partner suffer as they build their perfect tank. They say, actually, so, my kid, like, I want to trigger, like, a little, it feels like Army of Two, but if one person got to make all of the choices.
I want to put a little twist on this, just so, two things. One, what if the child character has no idea what their points are in? So that at no point So at no point they know what abilities they have. So it's just a constant, like, guiding of from their parent to... They have to constantly ask their parent, what are my abilities, whatever, whatever. But, like any parent's kid relationship, eventually, that kid grows up and becomes more of, like, the dominant force in that relationship. They're taking care of their parent, whatever. So what I'm saying is okay. Anything... All the shit that the parent fucking puts on the kid comes back around, baby. So it'll be like, as soon as the kid reaches level 20 in some skill of any kind, either because their parent gave them level 20 in that skill or because they earned level 20 in that skill, they get to completely reassign the points of the parent's character.
From that moment on, the kid gets to make all of those same points and decisions for the parent. A little bit of like, if I make you suffer during early game, you get to make me suffer during late game.
So, but here's the thing. How do we motivate? Because I don't want people to go through this game civil. I want to motivate them to shitting on people. What if there is some sort of like Castle Crashers element of this where like you go through these bite-sized levels and points are tallied at the end of it? So it'll be just like, it's very instant, like, and you're what I'm trying to get is like there's this competition of who's going to earn the most points, who's going to put the most boss damage in, maybe that's how we do this, because but they did say survival, didn't they, the original submission, like it's a survival game.
You know what we
so
could
how
do
we
then
turn that into a survival thing. What's up?
What if it is a co-op roguelike game, and the levels feel a little bit more akin to... You and I have been playing Remnant lately.
Yes.
In Remnant, there's a system called Adventure Mode. Essentially, the way it works is the players are loaded into a big map that will have a couple dungeons that you can go do, and then, like, one boss fight. And that would be one complete cycle. So what if we set up this game where you queue up, and randomly one person is selected as the parent and one person is selected as the child? And for the sake of this run, I would make all the choices for you until we got to the end of the run. And either, or the cycle. The next cycle begins, and then we swap. Now, for the next chunk of, like, world, level, floor, whatever we want to break these bits down into, that cycle, you would be in control. We get to the next thing, we swap, I'm in control. We get through the next thing, we swap, you're in control. And we do something like that.
How about this? So here's the thing, like, one of the big gameplay loops of Remnant is, like, unlocking new gear, but they do this one beautiful thing of, like, if one person collects a piece of gear or a resource, everybody gets it. So, like, a person grabs, like, a unique ring that gives you abilities, everybody gets a copy of that ring. So I'm wondering if you can do a game like this where you spawn into some sort of, like, big world where there's dungeons and bosses, but only one of you gets to walk away with the gear from that adventure. So then that motivates, like, because you can take your gear with you on multiple adventures. So I'm trying to figure out if there's a way where you can try and, like, okay, you guys have to work together to beat these bosses and these dungeons, but only one of you is going to walk away with any, like, materials and resources from this quest, because there's not enough to go around. There's not enough. So, like, hey, there's this ring that you guys are competing with, that this boss gives you. It all comes down to, like, you know, how do you do that when one player is just vastly more in control of the other one?
As we mentioned, the child grows faster. So when we get to bosses, the parent will have naturally, even if the child isn't in a build that the player knows very well, the child does have bigger numbers by the time we get to that 1v1. And I think that would level out that handicap a little bit.
Wait, hold on a second. You just gave me a huge idea. Are you saying that the parent and kid have to 1v1 fight at the end of every, like, adventure?
Yes.
Like,
you proposed Castle Crashers, so that's where my brain went. Yeah. So we go through. We load into a cycle. Maybe floors is the right way to think about it. Perhaps cycles. I still haven't decided yet. We load in, we go through, we fight stuff, we kill things. I've been leveling you up all the way. We get to the boss. I leveled you in a way that you can kill the boss. But now you and I have to fight to see who gets the cool ring.
See, that's cool as fuck, because you know what that means is like, I say I'm the parent and you're like in the kid thing. I'm trying to build you up in a way of like, man, I need to make you powerful enough to take out this boss, because by boss end game, you're the one that's going to be doing the main DPS. It's like you and I gaming with our buddy Andrew, who has like quad damage and all of his critical hits. We're like, you and I are just fucking sitting there doing nothing, and then he comes in and melts a boss for us. So we are building out that character, but we need to take into account, like, okay, I need to build them in a way that I can still fight them. I still need to kill my kid. You know, and that's so that's interesting. Like, well, no, the concept of like this character, and then that way the kid character is not in like total, like they don't have any say in it. Like, they do grow faster. So if they wanted to farm, like, say you're building me up to be a caster, but I want to be a melee character. Like,
yeah,
I
that
can
sucks
work
for you
melee.
Because I'm gonna give you so many casting things. Oh yeah, because the rings and stuff that we're picking up from those boss kills. Like every time we pick up those 1v1s and we get that piece of gear, that's with us forever. So even if while playing, I want you to be a DPS like frontliner. You've brought in enough gear that you can still be a caster for your run because you've brought in items to counteract my parenting skills.
Yes, but if I die as the kid character, I lose all of that progress, and you're the only one that gets to walk away with gear.
Yes,
you know,
okay, so it's a roguelite then, where on the short cycle of the runs, the parent gets to choose what the child gets, and the child and parent roles are swapped each time. But in the grand loop, the big progression is you're bringing back pieces of loadout that you can use to control what your loadout would become when your parent decides things for you.
Yes. And to add some extra stank on this, if you load into one instance of an adventure, there's only ever one opportunity on your account, one opportunity to get a piece of gear. So, like, say you and I load into this level and we know there is a ring at the end of it. We go through and I lose, you get the ring, I don't. If you and I load into that instance again, it's not that ring. It's never the same piece of gear. There's only going to be ever one existence of it. So maybe
now
that
is that because we're
ring.
On some Borderlands type shit and like all
That's
of the gears hyper randomized?
Yes, that way it's like super. Each run feels super unique, and that way you can never like losing out on a piece of gear. Feels impactful. It's not like, it's because what I want to avoid is like, okay, you and I are playing this game together. We could very easily cheat the system to be like, okay, during the ending fight, I want you to win because you're the one that doesn't have this piece of gear, or vice versa. It's like, no, each time is a completely new piece of gear. Each time is a completely random rolled gun or axe or ring. And that way it's like, okay, no, I want this random rolled thing. And you know what, to add some extra spice to it? Actually, no. You don't know
Here's
what the
thing.
Stats
I
of the final item are going to be.
You mentioned the idea of people playing it together that know each other, and I'm just now realizing that might spit in the eye of our entire game design. Luckily, Blake, I have a solution. Well, if our
random,
entire game design...
pairing online?
You're two steps ahead of me. Yes. Random pairing online.
Oh,
I want to do some
that's...
journey type shit because, as we all know, you can't choose your family.
That's right.
I would have much less
God.
Arguments with Facebook people if I could choose my family.
just unfriend them, AJ. It's a beautiful little button that they built right into the interface. You got a racist uncle who's still flying Confederate flags? Don't talk to them.
Problem is that much like this video game, sometimes my family's quicker than me and they've already deleted me on Facebook.
Hey. Less work for you, bro. That's how I view that as a win-win. somebody's gonna do it. If it's not you, all right, cool. You don't need to waste the two clicks. Get it. That's nice, man.
This co-op game of you being able to, like, you are randomly generated a partner every time you load into the game. You have to, like, queue up, and it's like, oh, there's four players in queue. Oh, we matched you one. Go on this run. For this run, you are with a random person online. This is how you would like go through this run. They get to be the parent the whole time. And then you fight for the gear at the end. You take that gear with you back. You equip it. You go out the next time knowing that you're only going to be able to take this route. Or at least
really,
a little bit
really
more control.
Really quick question. Just to kind of add, just like keep progress there. What I'm thinking would be kind of cool is... is if you successfully returned with gear, that gear is permanently in your inventory. It's not like Hunt, where like if you take an instance of that piece of gear and die, you lose that gear. It'll be like, oh, during your mission, you managed to find a rifle on the ground and you really liked it. You took it with you, and then, but you won in the final PvP. Now that rifle is always in your inventory, and you can take it into any instances you want. So, like, you can play this game, and you could theoretically, like, lose a few times, but you still, like,
yeah, if I finished a boss and got the Spear of Long Stab, then then that goes in my inventory forever. Anytime I queue up, I can choose to grab the Spear of Long Stabbing, and know that whoever my dad is will look at me and be like, "It's got a spear. Should probably do something with that."
All right, I want to throw something else at you just to really lean into this parent kid dynamic. You know, like, you ever have like a parent and you're just like enjoying some food or something, and they're like, "Well, that's mine now." Like, I could be having a bag of chips, and my mom will come up and is like, "All right, give me some of those chips." And then she takes the, like, half of the bag from me. I'm like, yeah. Well, what the fuck am I going to do? Well, my grandma's more guilty of that. My grandma's very like, "Oh, can I have one chip?" And then she'll just fucking eat the whole bag. And
yeah,
be like,
no,
I'll buy you a new bag.
Yeah, the wonderful thing about living with family that I'm being reminded about now that I live with family again is that I don't own things. The house owns things. You
so
see, my household has a rule where if something's been in the fridge for 2 days, it's the house's. It's the house's food.
That's how we do things at my house. Be like, but see, I actually love that because that's how I get like really good leftovers. Like, oh, my mom and dad, like, they went out to Buffalo Wild Wings when I was out one night. And I'm like, oh, there's some garlic wings just still sitting in there 2 days
later.
Yeah,
hey, Blake, I know you. What's your strat? Where's it hiding behind? I'll hide stuff behind the orange juice. Where are you hiding it?
I've gotten a little bit tricky. The things I buy are things I know they can't eat. Also the things they choose not to eat. Cause I like kombucha. I like fermented just fucking garbage vinegar water. Yes, it's tasty. None of
kombucha's not tasty.
One whiff of that, they're like, "Oh, that's disgusting." So,
okay.
Yeah.
So you just put all of your goodies with the kombucha.
Yeah, it's like trying to cover up their scent, like your house trying to cover your scents up from an animal. It's like you drizzle a little bit of kombucha tea on all.
They'll
of
never
your shit,
know
like...
about my seasoned fries. I have an open bottle of kombucha in the fridge.
Okay, but going back to the game. So what I'm suggesting is, if you are the parent character, maybe at the end of it, if you win as the parent, you can reach into the other player's inventory and take anything you want. Or maybe
I don't like the idea of stealing actual things. Here's what I will give you.
Hey, I didn't like the idea of my grandma stealing all my chips, but you know what? She did it.
Here's what I should say. For our game design, I don't want the parents to be able to stop long-term growth. The long-term slow grind needs to be important because I don't want people to risk those things. Here's what I'll give you, though. Parents can steal the consumables from their child as well. Mana potions, health potions.
Okay, so they
one-time
like...
One-time blocks,
basically...
revive stones,
okay,
all of those.
Like...
That could be the parents. They
yeah.
can just snag
okay,
that.
Okay, That's it. Yes. Yeah. So, like, in Remnant, they're, like, these consumables of, like, oh, you gotta take this oil skin thing to get rid of, like, the root rot, or you got corrosive on you, you need to, you know, take this ointment or whatever. It's consumables like that that you use during quests that they're, like, you know what it would be kind of fucking funny, just leading into the theme of, like, your parent asks for something and half of it's gone? They take half of all of your consumables. So you have to buy more.
The parent always has the option to steal one of them from the kid. But here's what I will also give you, though. While the parent always has the option to steal it from the kid, if the parent heals the kid, it gives them double effectiveness. If the parent decides use the one-time shield on the kid, then the kid will be healed. We'll get that one-time shield for two props.
Adult versus child, like, you know, skill, and like, oh yeah, you know, when the adult does it, they know a little bit more about what they're doing, and like when it comes to healing, and they can get you I like that.
What I want to create is a video game where the parent has every option to make the child's life a living hell. But when the parent decides to be good about their child, they are rewarded more. Think of it as, I want the child to be a tank, but because they brought the Spear of Long Stabbing, all of the buffs that the parent can give to the child are percentage-based. Percentage-based off of the base stats. Bringing in the spear increases the base stat of the player. So when the parent is a good parent, the growth is exponential. That would translate to percentage buffs based on the gear that the kid brought in, as well as bigger buffs when the parent decides to assist the kid. But the parent always has the option to make the kid whatever the hell they want. And if they want a tank, they're getting a tank.
Well, I mean, that's unless the kid, because the kid has the option of growing in other areas. It's just
that's
not
true. The the slow
as,
burn,
like,
the kid could do it.
Yes, it's just not as fast as, like, being assigned the ability points that the parent decides. And I'm wondering if we could do, I like that concept, because I love the idea of a parent role having to balance being like, I want to make this kid strong, but not strong enough to kill me. Like, that's just so, that leaves so much room for just being fucking wacky. Like, every run being like, okay, am I going to have, like, a parent who's a fucking dick? Or am I going to have a parent who's, like, going to just toy with me a little bit, but also make sure I'm big and strong, you know? And I'm wondering if you could, actually, AJ, this is how we make it the playing field a little bit more level. The parent controls all of the buffs that the kid has. The kid controls all of the debuffs that the parent has. Because, like, you're at Disneyland, a kid, they decide where you go. Like, when you're at Disneyland, a kid's like, I want to do this or I'm going to fucking cry my eyes out. You're listening to that kid. So what I'm suggesting we take
here's
that.
What I'll give you. Yeah. The kid, the parent has to take care of the debuffs. Not that if the kid gets poisoned, the kid has no way of curing their own poison. It is the dad's responsibility to stop the poison. So it gives the kid the ability to say, if I'm not getting what I want, I'm going to go get poisoned all the time.
I'm just going to go set myself on. I'm going to go up to the fire enemies and just be on fire the whole time. And you're just going to have to do something about it because you gotta work with me here. I don't know.
You have all the potions, Dad.
No, I honestly feel like there is some fun to be had in the child character picking some sort of debuff, being like, hey, every time, like, how about this? And it's not going to be as sporadic
what
as,
if,
like,
what if the child had the ability to pass the debuff onto the parent?
No, because I think it's
I just don't know how I feel about giving the child a direct way to cause issues for the parent in the middle of the run. Because that's what the final run 1v1 is used for.
Okay. Actually, how about this? Is there a way that we can do this system of you are the parent, your ultimate responsibility is to make your kid big and strong, but you don't want them to be too big and strong because they'll kill you at the end of the run.
And then they'll
get
the cool ring.
If your kid dies before the final boss fight and before your, like, thing, you take maybe there's some sort of serious effect to you as a player. Like, maybe you lose out on something. Like, maybe
Here's what it is.
For that run is, like, hit, you know?
You do you beat a boss, two pieces of gear drop. You do the fight to see who gets the first pick. Like, the first pickup. If the kid dies, the run's over. Flat line done. The main character died. If the parent dies, the kid can still run through and try to finish the run.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it just means that the kid would get one piece of gear and
choose. I don't want to do any of this, like, there's two pieces, there's gear to go around. That, like, that to me is, like, makes
that
the game a lot less stressful.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's like, no, there's only one. There's only enough for one, and you're going to have to fight for it. But what I'm suggesting is if your kid dies before the boss fight, or you could still do the run. It's just that your XP will start going down, like the XP earned. So be like, your kid dies once, guess what? Now you're only making 90% of the XP from all of the enemies and the bosses in this run. Your kid dies twice, oh man, you're only making 75% now. Kid dies three times, 50%. Kid dies four times, you're only making 10%. You know, so it it rewards you trying to make your kids strong, but at the same time, you have to balance, oh, I don't want to make them too strong. You
gotcha.
Know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that way there's some risk to you as the parent. You're not just some fucking, you are in total control, but if you just dick around and are a complete asshole to them, you will not be rewarded. You actually have your run basically ruined if they're dying all the time on you. Like, there's, especially during the boss fight, nobody's going to get that in their first run. Like, we did, like, I mean, there are some bosses in Remnant where you and I and Andrew steamrolled through them, but there are other bosses where it's like, we have to do, like, that boss, like, 10 times to try and learn its tricks and shit. But every time you die, you take a hit to the XP earned.
But it's a roguelike,
like,
is my
that's
problem.
That's what makes this shit fun. Okay.
Yeah, but it's a roguelike. Like, if you die if the kid dies 4 times, like, you're just going to lose the run and have to reset.
So you're saying no death at all. So it'll be like...
If the kid dies, it's a flat run dead. Run's gone.
Okay.
If the dad dies, the kid can try to go finish the boss and take you to the next floor.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And does their dad, like, survive?
Once you get to the next floor, the parent would respawn. Yes.
Oh, interesting. Oh, and that's not even something I thought about. Like, you're thinking of this as, like, a floor system? I thought this is, like, you just do one run, and then, like, you disconnect with that person forever.
I want to do the floors and runs. That way the parent role can swap floor to floor to floor. And
that way,
when you're stuck with somebody, you can at least see how long you two are stuck together before you're forced to do another, like, a different partner on your next run.
Yeah,
I'm interested
to see how long you can
suffer through this game with a random stranger.
I like this too, because, like, what this tells me is like, your character at the beginning of every run starts at, like, level 0, both the father and the parent and the kid, but the thing that you take with you between rounds is just different gear. So your starting gear is the thing that changes between runs. But
yes,
you are still only have access to, like, level 1 powers at the beginning of any run.
Correct,
so
Amundo.
Like,
and that's why all of those upgrades are percentage-based. Because the gear that you bring in... I'm starting the game...
Okay.
The first time you ever fire up, you're starting with stats of, like, 1-1-1-1-1. But because of the slow burn progression, you could start the game with a weapon damage that's, like, 95, and then 5% of 95 will just make you grow bigger, stronger, faster.
Okay. I actually really, really like this concept. Okay. So I think we need to do 2 things. We need to come up with a name, and we should take some of, like, what are some of our bosses going to be like?
I
want to
do boss fights. Let's do boss fights first before we pick a name.
Okay, so there's one boss fight from Turtle Lover 2244, where it's just an image of a brick wall with legs. And I love the concept of that, because I don't know if you saw the trailer for Death's Door. It's where you're the little raven that has a sword, and it's like this really cute, like, just fucking top-down beat-em-up game. It looks a lot like Hades. There are a lot of enemies, and I think this is becoming more popular, that are, like, wall-themed. I know there was one in Doom. Like, in Doom Eternal, you basically went up against a dude that was, like, a giant wall-sized shield with a face on it. So I'm wondering if you could do some sort of thing where one of the bosses is, like, a just all defense-based, and it becomes a game about maneuvering to its back to, like, attack, like, it's the area that it's defending.
See.
So that... Well, no, but I like that, because that becomes a team effort thing. It's like, because one person has to distract the face of the wall while the other person does damage to behind the wall.
Yeah, this actually is bringing up a really great point for me that I don't think we had really considered, or we hadn't directly hashed out, is what this game looks like. Are we imagining it as a third-person action game?
This whole time, I've actually just been picturing Kratos and his kid. So, like, photoreal.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Like a AAA-based 3D action game. Okay,
yeah,
yes.
Where, like, you could see that every follicle of hair on a person's face was very photorealistic, very beautiful, very fun. Also,
Can you give me 3-word descriptions for, like, what the parent and the kid look like?
Well, what I was thinking, it might be kind of fun, like in Remnant or I think it would be fun to design your own character. You can design what your parent looks like, and you can design what the kid looks like. So you're like designing some 16-year-old kid, and then some, like, let's say 30-some-odd-year-old
like, parent.
Yeah. So you have two things that you can design. Because I think that would be a fun way to immerse people, and you can, like, always be growing your character or whatever.
Yeah, and this also lends us the ability to just, like, you know, sometimes you'll finish a boss, and instead of getting a cool piece of gear, you'll get some dumb cosmetic that doesn't really matter. Like, ah, oh, cool, an earring. This is too small to notice on my character.
See, that might actually be kind of fun of, like, if you lose, you get a cosmetic item. But if you win, you get an actual usable item. Actually, that's how it is. If you lose, you get a consumable and a cosmetic. But if you win, you get an actual weapon or some ability-based item. So that way you still kind of walk away with something.
Yes, that rules.
But it's like, yeah, so it's like, it's not like, and not every run is a total loss. And of course, there's going to be like, you know, in like Hunt Showdown where like you get XP that contributes to your seasonal content and all that other shit, which is also
Yes, of course we have a season pass on this roguelike. That is so important.
Mm-hmm. So you have like different cosmetics, different guns, different like seasonal based shit you can unlock. And you know what might be even kind
of cool?
God,
Blake, I'm so afraid of when we actually do end up with a video game that has a season pass on a roguelike, because it's going to be the most disgusting thing I will experience as a gamer. and also, more concerningly, will make me long-term attached to a stinking roguelike way longer. I love how easily I can just drop roguelikes. The idea that they'd have a season pass that tries to get me back every couple of weeks, that sucks so goddamn much.
I actually found another one that I think is so fucking funny.
All right, what do you got? So you sound really excited about this one. Hit me with it.
This one comes because it's just pure image funniness. So there's this picture sent to us from High Tide on our Patreon Discord of this woman in a cowboy hat posing next to her what looks to be a boa constrictor with a smaller cowboy hat. So I'm thinking
two of them. Love this idea.
Yeah, so you have, like, the snake who is, like, operating on the outer bounds of the ring, and then you have, like, their beast controller in the center, and she has, like, she's, like, fucking dual-wielding revolvers or whatever, or, like, is doing some... What's, like, I guess a glaive would be more...
No,
actually, no.
I think
their
you're right about
like...
the snake gets a cool knife. The person that controls the snake in the center has two guns, and they're juggling it like revolver ocelot.
I'm also thinking this snake is like huge. This is like the size, like a Goliath-sized snake that this like, it looks like a worm from Dune. If you remember that at all,
never watched Dune.
Yeah, it's nailed out. It's pretty. I mean, the 70s movie's a little bit shite, but like the original like story is pretty bitchin'. But Tremors. There you go. Like it's not as big, but you remember Tremors?
No, like I haven't seen Tremors either. Keep going. I'll find something.
Oh God! God! What's it?
Could you hit me with the bug worms from the James Cameron King Kong movie?
James. Oh, that's. I have no idea what they're called, but like, that's something you and I both know. So let's rock with that. So yes, they're like these giant. They can fit a whole person in their mouth. Huge, and
yes.
They control the outer ring while the revolver juggling gun woman is controlling the center. So you can't get too close to the gun person or else she'll bash you. You can't get too close to the outer ring because the snake will like eat you or slash you, hack and slash you with their sweet fucking knife. That would be fun
because
like
that's a fun boss fight because it immediately creates this world, this situation where the players must synergize and understand whose job is what to take on the boss.
Yes. Yes, yes. Is there a way you can do something like in Dead by Daylight when you're logging into a game with your friends, it sometimes gives you a hint at what, like, monster you're going up against? Is there a way that you could, like, Pay like a blessing fee or something before logging in to know what boss you're roughly going up against.
No, but so I'll give like, you this. There will be a traveling old lady that you can find on the first zone of each floor that will give you a hint for the boss. That way you'll have like, you know, five or six levels of growing to think about the counterplay.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And there has to be like also like randomly spawned events, like that thing in Remnant where you get like 20% more armor, and but like nobody else in the party does. It'd be like, ooh,
that'd be kind of
cool too, because that could be like, that means your dad, like the parent. Sorry, I keep thinking dad because like Kratos and his kid, but it could be any fucking parent. So the parent, you come across a randomly spawned events in the world that the parent gets final say on. So it'll be like, hey, here's this giant pool of glowing liquid. Who's going into it? You or the kid? And you can like force your kid to go into it. You don't know if it's going to be a debuff pond or it's going to be a buff pond. So it'll be like, oh, you went into this pool made of magma. Yeah,
there's a pool. Someone can get into it. The dad gets to choose who.
Yes. So, and you don't know if it's like, oh, now there's this glowing orange pool, right? It's like, oh, that can give me like plus 10% to fire defense,
or it can make you twice as lethal. Yeah, twice as susceptible to poison. That would suck.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. That's what I think. Do you have any more boss fights, or do we want to come up with a name?
No, I think that's good, and I'm ready to think of a name. This game was submitted with a name of Bonded. Bonding.
Okay. Bonding. Is there any way we can put like, you know, like an apostrophe something on the end of that? Like bonding. So, because you have like Remnant from the Ashes. You have Hunt, the Hunt Showdown or whatever.
Tragically, I'm not certain if I'm sold on the word bonding, but I've got something with a nice ring to it that either that I want to kind of walk away from.
Mm-hmm.
How do we feel about a video game you could pick up at the store? Check this game out. It's called Father Like Son.
Ooh, father like son. Okay.
My problem is, does that feel too gendered? You know what I mean? Like, I love the energy. I love the vibe of it so much, but I'm worried that it's a little bit too machismo-y. It's a little bit too much like, this one's for the boys.
Like, I love that as like a saying in like real life, like comparing like things that my father has that I have, you know, that's fun. But if you're trying to make a game that's like meant for everybody to play, that is very much pigeonholing you. Yo, what's up?
Family traits.
Family traits. Oh, that's really good, actually. That's really good, actually, because then that opens the door of like, if you as the, does the parent get any ability buffs? And if they do, does the kid distilled down version of it?
So be I like, don't hey, think that as the kid gets, oh, that I mean, that might be an item that a kid that you could unlock eventually, something that like, oh, for every buff that the parent gets, you get 5% of it or something like that. But
yeah,
I think
you get like
the core system is that like the parent will always choose the skills for the kid, but they are both leveling up. It is also just that the kid grows faster than the parent, but the parent starts with better numbers.
I like the concept. It just because I'm really sold on like just to lean into the title that you created of family traits. Be like, you are 50% of whatever your parent is. Any trait that your parent gets in game, you get 50% of that thing. So it'll be like your parent character just gave themselves, they are twice as likely to land critical hits. Guess what? That twice wouldn't work because then you just get regular critical hits.
No, I like specifically the idea that the parent is just choosing what the kid gets and choosing what they get as separate thought processes.
Yeah? Well, I'm trying to figure out because like, well, here's the thing.
No, it's just called family traits because it's about a family and one of them gets to choose all the traits of the other. Until the next round, and then they flop.
Okay. Okay, so family traits, is there something we want to add on to that, or is it just family traits?
No, I get it. You're just not worried if it's got enough oomph to it, right? Like, that's not going to fly off the shelves, so to speak.
Yeah, well, I like family traits. I just think it could use something, you know what
it could
I mean?
It could be a little sexier.
I don't include sexy and family traits in the same sentence, please. All right. And thank you. Don't say it reluctantly, like, all right, like you're missing out on something. Somebody's been playing too much Oh God, what's that? Fuck, what's that game called?
Reach for it. Come on, get the joke. I believe in you. Reach for it. Come on, bud. Go. Come on, get it. Come on. You can get it. Go.
It's not Blast Blue, is it?
Nope, you're so close though, kind of, not
Fuck,
really.
What is it called? What's that dumb game called that we talked about for fucking ever in a couple episodes ago? God, what is it called? Something Kingdom, something to fucking...
Anyway, think about a different video game name for our goddamn video game.
Don't leave me hanging like this. Tell me what game this is.
We were talking about Fire Emblem Fates last time.
All right, through the magic of editing, somebody's been playing too much Fire
Emblem. If Family Traits isn't good enough for you, give me something with more oomph.
All right, I can't come up with anything, so guess what? It's just Family Traits.
Family Traits.
Okay, all right. Hey,
is that a video game, Blake?
I think that is a video game, my guy. You ready for patch notes?
Yeah, let's go to patch notes. Hello, everybody, and welcome to patch notes. This week, Blake and I got something cool to plug for y'all that you can actually see fresh and brand spanking new as soon as this Friday. Whoa! A wiki
AJ
wiki!
AJ and I have been working on a bunch of new content for our YouTube channel, and we just launched. We launched a little while ago. We're doing two Let's Play series right now, both centered around parenting, kind of funnily enough. We're playing Dead Rising 2, where we're two dads trying to get our daughter the best medicine zombie-killing money can buy, and trying to save the world in the process and clear our names.
Well,
and
we're not getting too big for our britches. We're trying to save fantasy Las Vegas, all right? It's not the whole world.
I mean, hey, when we're talking about our daughter, that is our whole world, AJ.
That's a good point.
I would thank you to remember that, our sweet, adorable daughter who plays Japanese imports of Mega Man. And then we're also
playing... The other video game that we're playing is It Takes Two, also a video game where we're having to do better for our daughter. It's a co-op mandatory game where we play as two people that are very close to a divorce as they work out their extramarital problems in all sorts of fun little platforming adventures.
And if you want to check out either of those, check us out on Spiritual Successor Podcast on YouTube.com. So the channel's been kind of growing over the past couple months, and we're excited to be putting more content on there. Got a couple things in the works there that may or may not see over the course of this month. And we hope to see you there, and we hope you have some fun. We do like hour-long episodes once a week. So if you like hanging out with us for an hour on the podcast, you might like hanging out with us for an hour on a Let's Play.
And if you don't, beans.
Tell us to fuck off. Give it.
Don't
what the
do
dislike
that.
Button's for.
You know what? You
that's
can just leave it alone. The dislike
hey, come
button's
check out our
there,
content,
but
don't offer
like,
any constructive criticism. We don't want any.
As always, everybody, our intro and outro music is Cheap Shot by Anna Monoguchi, an excellent song from an excellent game for an excellent... Nope. An excellent song from an excellent band for an excellent game. I have been your host, AJ Hart.
And I have been your other host, Blake Rea.
This has been Spiritual Successor, and these are cool games
that should not be made.